Welcome back to the Extra Inning Postgame Show with Bill Lasky, and I'm honored and delighted to bring on my guest today, three-time Emmy Award winner. Of course, you saw him on Telemundo a few times, but the biggest key is he's back. He's back to NBC Bay Area as a co-host, and I still think he's an analyst, and let's bring him on. Carlos Ramirez. Carlos, how are you today?
Hey, Bill. Thank you for the invitation again. Every time I get a chance to talk to you, it's an honor for me, so thank you again.
Well, you're back on NBC Bay Area. Do you have your suit and tie all ready for March 30th against the Yankees? Maybe an orange tie in there, Carlos?
I do have my black suit, my orange tie, my orange glasses, orange shoes. I'm ready to go.
Well, that's great. Of course, the crew is back. Laura Britt at your side, Sean Estes, Rich Aurelia, George Contos, Randy Wynn, and of course, the Silver Fox himself, Ron Wotus.
I'm going to refrain from calling him that because, Bill, last time I did it, he gave me the stank eye. It's not my nickname, but I love Ron too much to make him mad. He is the last person on earth. I've never seen him mad, actually, so I don't want to start with. But, yeah, what the heck. The Silver Fox is back, Bill.
Well, you know what you should say? If he doesn't want you to call him that, call me that, because we go back and forth with our silver hair and how we pull it back and all that. So Ronnie's a good friend, and what a great crew once again. How do you like working with all these people?
Listen, I love it. One of the reasons why I came to the United States from Venezuela was to be able to work with the very best at their craft at every sport I got the chance to cover, and that's what I'm doing right now with Laura and the guys you just mentioned, Randy and Richie and Sean and Georgie and Wody and Pav, Alex Pavlovich, and the people behind the camera, Dave Bernstein and John Giacomo and Justin Hathaway and our producer, David Tedla. We have such a great crew. Same goes for the 49ers side with Dante Whitner and Rod Brooks. I'm blessed. I mean, I pinch myself, Bill, every day because, I mean, 20 years ago when I started in this profession, in this business, in Venezuela, this was my goal to get here. And now that I'm here, it's my second year, and I'm just blessed and honored and ready to take the next step and to cover what I assume and hope will be a very entertaining Giants 2023 season.
Well, let's jump a little bit into Venezuela, where you first started, and talk about the WBC. And we're trying to finish this, but it's been such an enlightening week, and the whole tournament has just been outstanding. I also played in Venezuela. You and I talked about this, and we talk about the excitement. You were a broadcaster in Venezuela doing winter ball. Of course, you and I talked about the Caribbean series and how all these countries go at it in winter ball. But the WBC was much bigger and better, and the competition was better. But going back to Venezuela, I tell people, this is the way the fans act in Venezuela and Latin countries. This is their inspiration. This is their spirit. This is what they get excited for the game of baseball. I really want to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah, and I'm just so happy that the American fan got a taste of what the international fan feels about the sport, not just Latinos, but the Japanese. I mean, we saw the broadcasts from the games in Tokyo, and then we saw the fan base go to Miami to support the Japanese national team. And there's this belief that the baseball fan is, you know, kind of mellow and low-key and not emotional. And where I'm from, it's the opposite. I mean, we do the wave, we throw beer, we curse, we get up and down. I mean, you know, you played there, Bill. You know what I'm talking about. So the fact that it happened in two of the worst attendance ballparks in the majors in Arizona and Miami also tells you there's a thirst for baseball and excitement in those cities, in Miami and in Phoenix. So I think this has to be a springboard to what the new age of the baseball fan is allowed to feel and express with respect, with, you know, with civility and in a baseball ballpark. But this is the way, I mean, to quote The Mandalorian, this is the way we feel about baseball. We love the sport. It's okay to be fun. It's okay to be loud, jump and cheer and just be excited about a beautiful sport.
Boy, you hit it right about international. China, Japan, almost 60% of the households were watching the games. Venezuela, Puerto Rico, over close to 70% of televisions watching those games. And, of course, those are international rivalries. But let's go. I want to just kind of ask you a couple questions about, you know, rivalries, especially when you talk about teams like that. The loudness of the fans, the drums, the bugles, the sound waves, the cheering, and even Japan, how some of them just get the wave going, but they're cheering through the wave. It's different, but at the same time, it brings emotion to the game.
It is. I mean, going back to the original point, there's this here in San Francisco, I know fans here are not fans of the wave because there's this connection with LA and how the wave was born. But I've told George Contos and Sean Estes, whom I've had extensive conversations about this point, where I'm from, the wave is fun. I mean, we don't do the wave because the game is boring or there's nothing to see. It's the other way around. We do the wave because, I don't know, our leadoff hitter hit a double and we're down by one run in the bottom of the ninth, or because our closer just struck out the side and we go on a wave of frenzy. So the wave for the Dominican or the Japanese or the Korean is a way to enhance and express themselves as something great is happening. We have to show the world and our team what's going on. And the same goes, Bill, with the bat flip. We've seen what the bat flip means in the Korean Baseball League, and it's almost a cultural phenomenon where it's expected for sluggers to flip the bat just several feet in the air and show of appreciation and demonstration of an achievement, not as a way to, you know, disrespect the opponent pitcher. It's the other way around. It's a sign of joy and cheer. And I think, again, the new wave, the new fans that got a taste of the World Baseball Classic, and maybe that fringe baseball fan who hasn't quite yet, you know, jumped into the baseball pool in the deep end, got a taste of the WBC and says, you know what? This is like football. This is like March Madness. We're in the month of March, Bill, and people were not talking about NFL free agency or March Madness or the NBA playoffs who were just around the corner. People were talking about baseball and how fun it was and how electric it was. Trey Turner said he had never played in a crowd as loud as he played when he faced Venezuela. And this guy has played World Series. This guy has won World Series. That has something to say to the fan that this is the way baseball should feel, Bill.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
It sure is, and they needed it. There's no doubt about it. Major League Baseball, International Baseball, they needed that electricity, and they brought it, and fans accepted it, and they brought it to the yard, and boy, oh boy, it was a fun, fun event. And I think, I tell you what, I was peeled every game. Anything I could watch, I was watching, and it was just fun to watch. And you got to see players play for their country. And we always go back to this. You know, would you rather have San Francisco Giants on your chest or would you rather have USA on your chest? And those are the kind of questions I want to ask the superstars, the Garrett Cole, the Nolas, some of the top line pitchers I wish I would have seen on that mound for USA.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Bill. I think that's the next step. That's the evolution. And we are in the fifth iteration of the Classic. And if we just set a parallel to other great world competitions, a la the Soccer World Cup, the FIFA World Cup, Mm-hmm. It took FIFA well over, I want to say, 40 years to really establish this competition as what it is today. So the fact that a guy like Mike Trout committed to Team USA so early and he recruited the players he did, and the fact that he already said, I am going to represent Team USA in 2026, I think the next step is that. The next step is for the American pitcher, because those were the only big names missing aside from, I don't know, Seiya Suzuki, who, you know, right, wasn't for playing for Japan, or Kodai Senga, who just focused on his new contract here in MLB with the Mets. So beyond those two Japanese names, you're right. I mean, what we want to see now, we the American fan as well, because I'm both rooting for Venezuela and the USA, I want to see that. I want to see Gerrit Cole and Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer, or whoever is that guy 3 years from now when the WBC comes around again. I want to see those guys play and see really who is the best of the best.
Yeah, I agree with you. And we got to throw Logan Webb's name in there. He was part of it with Drew. And you know, it's a smart move. He just wants to see what's going on. He's still a young, right-handed, talented pitcher. Of course, he's going against the New York Yankees on March 30th. Let's go back to baseball a little bit in Northern California. And I want to talk to you. You went to Arizona for a sabermetrics class or convention. Yep. I think it was at University of Arizona. I saw a lot of my friends go there, and they said, Bill, it was just fantastic with all the new things and nuances to learn from. And one of the things you tweeted about from there was about the catchers. And I really would like you to talk a little bit more about that, as well as that. Is it a convention or a class you went to? What was it?
Well, it's the national, it was a national Saber is the Society of American Baseball Research. That's where Bill James coined the term sabermetrics from that organization. And if you, the listener, want to be a part of and want to be a certified sabermetric analyst or student of the game, you can just go on saber.org and take their courses and you're on your way. So it was a national conference, the 12th edition of this national conference, where the brightest minds in baseball from the analytics perspective and different scientific worlds come together to share experiences and knowledge and the new frontiers for baseball. And there's so much depth and resources and brain power devoted, Bill, to investigate and push the envelope and make the sport smarter. Listen, I sat through biomechanical lectures and seeing how the wind affects and how they're studying the effects of seams in baseballs and the new metrics and new analytics coming to baseball. It was just really, really fascinating, Bill.
I would have to think so too, especially when you're seeing stuff like, just like what you're saying, the wind of a ball or the seams of the ball and where the fingers of the baseball and how they release it. It's mind-blowing from when I played to now. There's so much information. Sometimes you're like, when is it going to stop? But it won't stop because it's giving you more and more information, and that's kind of what you're looking at.
Right, right. And I think the next frontier is, which is here already, is the evolution of the biomechanics studies to enhance swing patterns, to enhance release points, to improve health, to improve endurance, speed, launch angles, release points, arm angles. It's really cutting edge stuff, and it's fascinating. And I think me as an analyst, who I didn't play the sport professionally, I think that's my lane, and it's my duty to bring to some degree that knowledge to the everyday fan and be a bridge. And make it fun, make it understandable, make it digestible, and not, you know, make it nerdvana, which is what I thought it was. It was fascinating those 3 days in Phoenix, because that's the way clubs are spending. That's the way teams are analyzing their players. That's the way coaches are understanding the game, and managers and players want to know this information as well. So, and the new metric, the new catching metric, which you can find in Baseball Savant, basically, Bill, it's a catching metric that studies how good a catcher is at catching. And that might sound like, you know, basic, but it's not. So one thing is framing. And framing means the ability a catcher has to turn balls into strikes. That's a simple to put it in layman's terms, that's what framing is. How good a catcher can turn a ball or a fringe strike into an actual called strike, right? And they're very good catchers at it. But this metric, this one, what it does is give credit to catchers for catching. And how it works is, and Tom Tango, who is another sabermetric analyst and one of the pioneers of this way of studying the sport, is basically located. It's based on the location of the pitch, whether it bounced or not, and the location of the catcher, the actual location. And then it accounts for the speed and movement of the pitch and the handedness of both the batter and the pitcher. So let's make it easy. An 80-mile-an-hour four-seam fastball that goes right down the middle, or a 90-mile-an-hour four-seam fastball right up the middle, should have a 100% chance of being caught by any major league catcher. And if, let's say, a catcher misses that ball because, I don't know, they closed their mitt earlier or they just missed it, then that deducts from their score. And then it's measured by runs saved above average by the way they catch. So, for instance, if a left-handed pitcher throws a back foot slider to a right-handed batter and that slider bounces and it's a wild pitch, if that catcher then, let's say Joey Bart, is able to corral that ball and catch it or block it and prevent that ball from being a wild pitch, that specific pitch gets assigned a percentage and an impact on the game. So that's how you evaluate how good a catcher is, Bill. And to put it in perspective, you have three seasons worth of stats on that metric. And the third best individual season from 2020, 2021, and 2022 belongs to Buster Posey in 2021. Wow. So from that perspective, Bill, the Giants, and this is just a projection based on what they've done in the past, the Giants have an issue because last season Joey Bart was 9 runs below average on that metric, and he was the catcher who caught the most for the Giants. Austin Wins was a tick above average, and the best catcher in baseball was both Adley Rutschman and Jose Trevino from the Baltimore Orioles and the Yankees. So that is a new metric.
Very interesting.
Yes, it's really fascinating.
So let me just ask you, from that, is there perspective of how you can get better at that? And then is there a way that guys get lazy where the metrics go to the negative wise? I mean, how does a catcher, when you show that, say, I'm sure the Giants have all this technology, and they say, Joey Bart, we got to increase this. We got to get you better to do what? That's the question I'm asking you.
Right. Well, two things. I mean, one, I would guess it would be from a catching perspective, both being able to frame or put your mitt better or catch or locate your glove better, and then being more flexible, being able to lower your chest better against block pitches that go go on the ground or get bounced. I mean, there's a different ways you can be more flexible, more apt at catching the baseball. So if you go to Baseball Savant today, you'll see the blocking leaders. You see blocks above average, and last season you see the block opportunities. That means every single pitch that catcher was able to catch. And so, for instance, Adley Rutschman, who was the best in 2022, he had 3,287 block opportunities. That means he caught or had those chances to catch the baseball. So you take out every foul ball, every ball that hit a batter or that was actually hit, a hit, a double, whatever, that goes out the window. So of those 3,287 block opportunities, he had an estimated 43 pass balls or wild pitch opportunities to catch, and he caught 25 of those.
Wow.
So those metrics give out that he had 18 blocks above average, above every MLB catcher on average. And from that same metric, again, Joey Bart had -9, so – yeah, I mean, you would have to sit down and find ways to make a catcher catch the ball better.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
And I think what you're saying when you go to these seminars, and I think they take every position probably now and probably show that same thing from a catcher, third, short, second, outfield. There's right. got to be a way that you're seeing that on all the defensive sides of all the players. And
you do.
That's what's fascinating. Yeah. That's what just blows me away.
Yeah, you do. The only position in baseball where you didn't have that information, Bill, was catcher. And I had a very good conversation with Mike Petriello from MLB and StatCast. He went to the conference, and one of the things they wanted to get at least 3 seasons worth of information before releasing this stat. You're going to love this one. And the next stat that we're going to get our hands on, Bill, you as a pitcher are going to love this, is pitcher accuracy. Mm. And this is going to blow your mind. MLB now, because of PitchCom, and there's not just PitchCom, but where the catcher actually places their mitt, and the PitchCom information, MLB is able to know where a pitch is supposed to be thrown, not just up and away or down and in, whatever, but
right.
with precision.
Where the target is.
Yeah. Right. What's the target? So you compare. Because now you have PitchCom information. So let's say Logan Webb says sinker down and away, right, to a right-handed pitcher, hitter. And you see Joey Bart's glove goes right there, and he misses the spot. You can now pinpoint to where the ball was supposed to go and where the ball went. And now Baseball Savant and StatCast will be able to give us, the analysts and the teams, more detailed information of how accurate a pitcher is and was supposed to be and actually was, Bill.
Now, can you get that from the opposing pitcher, like Garrett Cole, next Thursday? Can you get all that information for the opposing team to kind of understand where he misses sometimes, or location of pitches, or even the repetition of what he throws?
Everything. The question now becomes, and I'm assuming it's going to be released, because that's what the folks at Baseball Savant and StatCast said in the conference, that they're just expecting a bit more time before they release that information. You're going to get that information, Bill, for every single pitcher in MLB, just like you can for every single catcher now in baseball. You can just go to Baseball Savant and look up their information as how good they are blocking or catching a ball. You're going to be able to see how accurate a pitcher is based on those that information, that data that I just told you about.
And I tell you what, Carlos, this is a memory for me, because back in our day when I pitched, the starting pitcher would chart the game before you pitched. So you got to see the opposing hitters. You'd sit behind home plate. You'd take your little box, and you would literally put pencil where the pitch is. And then what we'd have to do is put a circle when he'd miss the pitch. That's what we did back in the day to show the pitcher what he missed, what he did. But you're talking about so much more accuracy, and that's what's great about the game from 30, 40 years ago till now, and how much it's caught up, and how much pitchers, hitters, defenses, managers can all look at this and understand it, but yet they got to watch the game play.
Right. And there's things to be tweaked. Like, for instance, I spoke with Mike Petriello about the catching stats, and one thing I asked him was, what are those stats? Do they take into consideration the new rules? And he asked me, what do you mean? Well, I said, is, for instance, on base stealing and also the catching, does any pitch specifically say whether the pitcher already had his two step overs or his two disengagements within an at bat or not? Because that influences how a pitcher pitches, how a catcher catches. Because if Trey Turner is on first, no one on, and it's a 2-2 or 2-0 or 2-1 count, that changes the at-bat, and that may change the approach of the pitcher, the approach of the catcher. That influences now the game. So if you don't have that specific or that specific data for every single turn, then you might be making an assumption or judging or misjudging a catcher or a pitcher, for that matter, mm-hmm. on a specific at-bat. And he said, well, I don't think it will in the beginning, but I'm sure at some point we'll get there. And that I think, is the goal. And the other thing is with the pitch clock, Bill, some pitchers at some point are going to have to throw pitches they don't want to because they yeah. want to avoid, you know, a ball or a strike or a ball. So maybe you're saying, well, yeah, Logan Webb missed on a two-seamer, which he said was going to go up and in, but he maybe just hit the wrong button because now pitchers, remember, are going to be able to call their own games with PitchCom, not just the catcher have that device on them, but pitchers now are going to have PitchCom in their belts or on their belts and actually call their own games. So maybe they make a mistake, maybe time's winding down and they want to pitch something different, but they just have to go because the pitch clock is making them go. So how do we differentiate a miss from a location standpoint versus he was just rushed for the mm-hmm. because of the pitch clock and he just had to go?
You're absolutely right. And then shaking off the catcher, even Grinke shaking himself off after he touched the buttons. I mean, those are all things that take seconds to do. And like you said, you rush. And once you rush, you get under the ball, your whole mechanics go wrong. So those are all things they're worried about, and they're finishing up spring training now as we open up for March 30th. Carlos Ramirez, a couple more minutes on extra innings. You know, when you look at this Giants team, they're going to break camp and come home, play the Oakland A's for a couple days, and then they're off to New York. What do you think is the biggest concern if you are Gabe Kapler moving into that opening day?
Well, first of all, seeing Aaron Judge in pinstripe is going to hurt mm-hmm. because we were one tweet away from actually having him, or we yep. thought we had him, or the yep. Giants thought they had him, but they didn't. Well, first, I want to see the catching side of it because, FanGraphs released their positional rankings for 2023, and they have the Giants catching core ranked 27th, or wow. what's the same, wow. the fourth worst catching core in baseball. And that takes into consideration both the offense and the defense. I think Roberto Perez is an increase, is an asset from the defensive mm-hmm. side. It's yet to be seen how he fares on the offense. I think the opposite can be said from Joey Bart. Let's see how he does. But that's my concern, not just for the Yankees series, Bill, but overall is
I agree.
You're seeing the numbers. Yep. You're seeing how the stolen base has gone up in spring training. You're seeing how teams are running more. And that's spearheaded by the Giants, who would lead spring training in stolen bases. But if you don't have a solid catcher behind home plate who's able to be a threat and keep runners from just going on a spree, on a stolen base spree, that's going to be a problem. That's my first concern is that. And then infield defense, because the Giants were not good last season, and I just don't see an increase or an evolution, a tangible evolution from an infield defense perspective. And now without the shift, and you have basically you lost your strikeout pitcher in Rodon, and you have a lot of guys who are good at inducing ground balls, so you better have a good infield to support them. And you saw what happened with Alex Cobb last season, how the numbers didn't support how good he was. Outfield, I think, is going to be better from a defensive perspective, but those are my concerns from the get-go, Bill.
Yeah, and they're good concerns, too. I'm right there with you on all of those, and I always look at offensive numbers. Can they gel? Can they get runs when they're behind? Those are all things. Runners in scoring position, left on base, all the things that are going to add up here if the Giants are going to be a contender or they're going to be a 500 team. But, Carlos, we'll be watching March 30th. I'll be watching you on the pregame show. Once again, thank you for your time on Extra Innings. It's always great talking to you.
Bill, it's my pleasure. Whenever you call, my friend, I will be right there for you. Thank you, and have a great season. Have a great show. Have a great year. And let's go, Giants.
That was Carlos Ramirez on Extra Innings. More coming up right here on KNBR, the Sports Leader.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.